I don't know if you've noticed, but things are escalating around the world at a drastic speed. If you are a scholar of God's Word, if you read God's Word and you study God's Word, you will notice that a lot of the things that Christ said that would happen is happening now. We know that things have been happening since Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. That's when the end basically started. Now, but what we do see is that things are really escalating in the Middle East. Things are developing. Things around Russia and what's happening to Russia. Most probably, Russia is the Gog of Magog that we read about in Ezekiel. And that's one of the wars that is still to come. We're looking at that happening. The role players are being put in place at this specific moment. Tension is rising between Israel and Iran. And we are seeing so many things just develop around the world. So many things. Then in the church, we see that apostasy is taking place. People are leaving the church. Many, many people are leaving the church. Many people are leaving the faith. Some people just leave the church, but they still believe. Others just stop believing. Youngsters leave the church or they go to universities and they are bombarded with anti-Christian propaganda. That's what I call it. They're confronted with evolution and where they learn that creation is a myth. It's nonsense. It's rubbish. And unfortunately, there are many that don't really know the scriptures that well that they can defend themselves and they can defend the faith. I've been listening to some people on the internet, and I've been shocked where atheists would go to a pro-life rally, and that's when they normally protest against abortion and that kind of thing. And what these atheists would do is they would walk up to the Christians and say, "But what do you say? Your God is a God who kills people, doesn't he? Isn't he the one that brought about the flood that killed everybody on the earth?" And how the Christians had no answer. And I've been shocked. I've been watching a few of these clips on YouTube, and I realized it is so true that people do not know God, and they do not know His Word. They think they know it, but they're not scholars of God's Word. They don't study God's Word to see what God's Word has to say. They think that it's enough for them to come to church on a Sunday morning to sit and to listen to one sermon, and that is enough for them to grow spiritually, to become knowledgeable about Scripture, and to know what needs to be said when they have to defend the faith. But the moment they get into the situation where they've got to defend their faith, they can't. They don't have the ability to do that. And it is heartbreaking to see that, but that's the reality that we are facing. So in the church, we are seeing an apostasy taking place, and it's in a major way because people do not know God and they don't know His Word. They have created a God that is a God that they feel comfortable with. Not the God of the Bible as revealed in the Bible. But I'm reminded, just to share this with you, reminded of someone who stayed with us for a few months that came from America, a missionary. And this person was with the Word of Faith movement with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And at one stage, we sat around the table and we started talking about God and God being in charge or in control of life and death, and that God kills people. And this person sat there and said, "God doesn't kill people." And I said, "What about Ananias and Sapphira? Didn't God kill them?" And this person said, "No, I'll have to go and study it first." I said, "But what about the Canaanites? When God sent Israel into the promised land, He said, 'You wipe out all the nations that are there.' At the end of the day, who's going to judge the nations and throw everybody who did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, cast them into the lake of fire? Isn't that God? What happened was she created a god unto herself, you know, a god that is pleasing for herself, a god that she feels comfortable with. But it's not the God of the Bible. She created a god who's a god of love, but not a god that judges unrighteousness. And it's heartbreaking. And unfortunately, that's the way that we separated with her believing still that God does not kill people. Because God is a God of love. God doesn't judge. God will not destroy. And my problem with that is, who caused the flood in Noah's day? Was it God? Who was it if it wasn't God? And this is what our passage is all about, Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read from verse 37 to verse 39. This is Jesus Christ speaking, and he's busy with the Olivet Discourse, telling his disciples. His disciples asked him, have you seen these beautiful buildings looking at the temple? And Jesus said to them, within 3 days I will break it down, and not one stone will be left upon another. And he was actually speaking about his own body now that would be broken down, and after 3 days he would be raised from the dead. But the disciples didn't understand it that way. But we know that in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed completely. And not one stone was left upon the other, because the gold, when they burned the temple, the gold went in between the rocks or the bricks, and they wanted all the gold. So what they did was they literally took the temple apart, one brick at a time, cast the bricks down the mountain and make sure that they get the gold. And Jesus' words came into fulfillment perfectly the way that he said it. And it's within that context that Jesus Christ speaks to us as believers as well, and he says the following. And this is talking about his return. Just before he returns, this is what he says we will see. Jesus said in verse 37, Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. And let me tell you, those words are actually shocking words. You must remember that until Noah entered into the ark, the people were doing all the normal stuff. Making food, gathering food, making something to drink, some drinking too much, getting drunk, some giving out in marriage, giving their daughters to get married or their sons to get married, and the weddings would take place. All the normal things in society was taking place until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And God closed the door of the ark. And God sealed it. And then a flood came. The greatest flood that has never been seen before and never will be seen again. And only 8 people survived. Those who were in the ark. And this is a warning of Jesus Christ to say, people will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage. People will be going on exactly the same way that they did in Noah's day. And then all of a sudden, Jesus will return. But when Jesus returns, he will return as the judge. And those who do not believe, those who are not righteous as Noah was righteous, in an instant their lives will be judged and they will be cast into the lake of fire. But before that, they were doing all the normal stuff. And it's actually shocking to think about it, that people will be going on with the normal day-to-day living things when Jesus Christ returns, just the way they did it in Noah's day. But when we go back to Genesis, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, we're going to read verse 5 and 6 and also verse 11. Because Jesus is prophesying in Matthew 24, he's telling us that things will go on as normal when he returns. In fact, people will be so carelessly going on with the things as normal, they won't even be waiting for Jesus to return. They won't even care about the return of Jesus Christ. Life will be a blast. They will just enjoy themselves when Jesus Christ returns. They will be doing all the natural stuff. But when we go to Genesis chapter 6, it tells us what the world looked like in the days of Noah. And I want you to think for a moment, when I read this, I want you to think of the world that we are living in right now. And the characteristics that we see in the world around us right now, and what you see on the news and what you hear on the news, and compare it. Compare it today with the days of Noah, as we read it in Genesis chapter 6. And this is what we read, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Now go down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Before we continue, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you that your word is so clear to give us clear direction, clear instruction, clear warning, so that we don't have to be ignorant of what is going to happen in the future and what the world will look like when you return. Father, we pray, please open up our hearts to receive your word this morning. Open up our minds to understand your word. Enable me as your servant to teach your people. And then enable us to go into the world, Lord, and to share the truth of your word with others, but also to apply your word to our own lives, Lord, that we may live the kind of life that is pleasing to you like Noah did. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, beloved, if we look at Genesis chapter 6, we see that there's a few things that stood out in Noah's day. The first thing is that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It basically means that people in Noah's day were exceedingly wicked. And it was from the inside out. There was just this wickedness that filled the earth. Brother Wayne was just talking about ISIS in Mozambique and the terror that surrounds a group like ISIS. But you go to the Middle East and you see what they do with Christians in the Middle East. You look at what's happening in the Ukraine at this moment, and Russia invading the Ukraine and killing people. And just look around you and you just see the wickedness that just has exploded worldwide. That sinful nature of people, it seems as if God is keeping his restraint away from people, and that wickedness is coming out more and more and more. In the days of Noah, the scripture tells us that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You see, the people in Noah's day were completely fleshly. They were wholly sensual. Whatever their hearts desired, that's what they did. I think of the youngsters in the world today. If they want to have sex, they will have it. If they want to kill their babies, they will kill them. Whatever they want to do, if they want to be this gender today and another gender tomorrow, they will do it. It's not youngsters only. Whatever is in the person's heart will just happen. They will just do whatever pleases them. I was watching that truck yesterday over the weekend that was looted. And it reminded me of the looting in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. And people say, oh, we must remember that the people are hungry and they're frustrated and they're upset. When in fact they were stealing. It's theft. That's all it is. Breaking God's commandments. Because that's what's happening in the world around us today. The world is becoming more and more wicked. Because people are being allowed by God to do what is in their hearts. And what is in the heart of man? Nothing good. But it's coming out. And we can see it's happening. And it's happening worldwide. And the only thing that is a remedy to a sinful heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody's heart that is changed from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. That happens through the preaching of the gospel and God regenerating a sinner and making that sinner a saint. But in the world that we live in, people hate God. They don't want anything to do with God. They are enemies of God. So why would they do what God wants them to do? They don't. They do whatever pleases them. You see, in Noah's day, the world was in a state of wickedness. People's wickedness was great, and it says that it was actually continually increasing and multiplying the wickedness in them. Multiplying wickedness. Adam Clark's commentary says the following about this text, and I want to quote it. It says, all the imaginations of their thoughts were evil. The very first embryo of every idea, the figment of every thought, the very materials out of which perceptions and conception and ideas were formed were all evil. The fountain which produced them, with every thought and purpose and wish and desire and motive, was incurably poisoned. Let me tell you, I would not like to be alive in the days of Noah because of the wickedness. And then I realized, whoa, wait. We're getting there at a massive speed, at an alarming rate. We are getting to exactly the same days. Because the closer we get to the days when Jesus Christ are going to return, the more the world is going to resemble the days of Noah. It's not going to get better. And those who think it's going to get better, they fool themselves. Genesis 6 tells us that every intent of the thoughts of people's hearts were only evil continuously. The earth was also completely corrupt. Corruption was everywhere. And I don't think in South Africa we have to say anything about corruption. And please don't think it's just in government or in state institutions. It is everywhere. In the private sector, it is everywhere. Corruption is rampant. But also, it says the earth was filled with violence. Have you seen how people react towards one another nowadays? It has now moved from verbal abuse or verbal attack to physical attack. It's as if people will easily kill someone else, even if it's just for a cell phone. Sometimes it's for nothing, just because they have a disagreement. They will kill the other person. Road rage is at a high. It sounds very much like the world that we live in today when we look at the world of Noah. And then we read in the words of Jesus, and I can see it in South Africa. I can see it all over the world. You have a world filled with wickedness, corruption, destruction, violence. You see it. It's everywhere. But people continue as if nothing is happening. They eat and they drink and they give out in marriage and they get married and they do all the normal stuff. They live as if everything is honky-dory, okay. Just like the days of Noah. Obviously, if the violence and the corruption and those things touch them personally, yeah, then people are up in arms and then there's a movement within families and so on, but as long as it doesn't touch them, they just go on as normal. And Jesus says that's exactly what will happen when he returns. And I can see that kind of atmosphere, that kind of, let's call it a spirit. It's not a spirit now, but I mean that kind of spirit, that kind of atmosphere, I can see it already. It's not as if people look at these things and then say, you know what? Maybe I should get myself ready because Jesus is coming back. I can see it is exactly the same as it was in the days of Noah. And when God closed the door of the ark, it was destruction for the people who were not in that ark. And we know that the ark is a type of Christ, in the Old Testament. Actually a very beautiful picture of Christ, who is the Savior. Those who are not in Christ will be judged by God. His wrath will come upon them. He will condemn them to hell fire forever and ever. Beloved, I can't emphasize it enough. That this warning of Jesus Christ is a warning that we need to take heed of. We need to listen carefully to what Jesus is saying. Because sometimes what we are doing or what we do is we are looking for the big signs. You know, all these massive signs, we are waiting for them and say, all right, we're waiting for the Antichrist to come, or we're waiting for this or that, whatever, the peace treaty in the Middle East. When in fact, the warning signs are already there. It's right in front of us. And Jesus gave this warning so that people can prepare themselves, because when Jesus returns, no one can be saved anymore. His time of grace is done. It's over. There's no more chance to repent. When God's wrath is poured out on all of mankind, it will be unexpected. By most. I'm concerned about the church, because I think sometimes even people in the church walk around with little things on their eyes, blindfolds on their eyes, and they're not seeing what they are supposed to see. Maybe because the world and the things of this world and their sin that they are indulged in has blinded their own senses, so that they cannot see these things. How many Christians do you know talk about the return of Christ often? How many Christians do you know are ready for the return of Christ? And with boldness they can say, you know what? I'm getting ready for the return of Christ because I expect him. Beloved, there are many people today who mock the flood. You know, the worldwide flood that took place in Noah's day. Many say that it was just a regional flood. Others say, no, it's just a myth. It didn't happen. And there's even Christians that says nowadays that the flood never took place. Even though it is Jesus himself that speaks about the flood, which means they don't even believe what Jesus himself said about the flood. And Jesus clearly told us that tells us that the flood is a historical event, something that happened on this earth. And Jesus doesn't lie. That's the negative part of the message this morning. So relax. But we need to look at the negative so that we can wake up if we are fast asleep. We have to know that there are consequences to every action. But what I would like to share with you from now on is the fact that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And this is so amazing. In the midst of a world that is wicked, evil, full of corruption, full of violence, Noah finds favor in God's eyes. Amazing. And what God does is, he reveals to Noah that he's going to destroy everything. He doesn't leave Noah in the dark. He tells him, Noah, I'm going to destroy everything. Listen to this. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and bird and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Noah knew when he was building that ark that this ark was going to save him. It was going to save him from the wrath of God that was going to come on this earth, and that every single person alive and every animal that is alive will be destroyed. Noah knew that. You see, when God gave Noah favor, he didn't leave Noah in the dark. He revealed to Noah what his plans were and what he was going to do. The same thing with us. God doesn't leave us in the dark. He saves us and he gives us his word to warn us and to tell us what's going to happen in the future. All we need to do is to read, to study what he says, and we will be able to be ready. If Noah didn't build the ark, he would have died with all the others. Praise God, he built the ark. But at the same time, Noah proclaimed a message to the wicked people that was around him, a message of righteousness. And it was a message the people didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear about righteousness. They didn't want to hear about God. And they didn't want to hear about living right with God and having favor with God and about the ark that is there to save people. And if they come to faith and if they believe in what God has said, that they will be saved. They didn't want to hear those things. You see, they were too busy with their wickedness and with their normal stuff. But Noah was proclaiming this message to the people, but they didn't want to hear. But he did it anyway. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we read, God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. And he says, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. God revealed to Noah that he was going to destroy everything on this earth. And then God gave Noah a message of righteousness to share with the people because God wanted people to be saved. But they wouldn't listen. They didn't care. You see, they loved their sin more than they loved God. They loved their pleasures more than they loved God. They loved the normal worldly stuff more than they loved God. And all this stuff ended up in destruction for them. But Noah, who built the ark, was saved. God saved him. And I want you to get this and understand this, that Noah, this righteous man, was preaching righteousness in a godless, wicked world. It wasn't as if the world was open and said, "Oh, Noah, you tell us everything. We want to know it." And then they would fall down on their knees before God and repent of their sin and turn to God and start worshiping God and start following God and doing what God wants them to do. No, 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 no. Noah would preach to them, but they wouldn't listen. They don't care. It's just like you and I when we walk out this door and we preach the gospel to people, and they just don't care. They don't want to hear what we have to say. Jesus said that we will see the days of Noah repeat itself again in the days before he returns to this earth. And God's judgment will come when no one expects it, except those who are ready. Those who are watchful. Those who are on the lookout. Those who are awake. And in the Olivet Discourse, this is what Jesus repeats over and over and over again, for God's people to be ready. To make sure that you wait for the return of Christ, that your eyes are focused on the return of Jesus Christ, that it is something that you live by. See, just like people would not listen to Noah's righteous message, likewise people will not listen to the gospel when Jesus returns, because the gospel is offensive. People don't want to hear they are sinners. They want to hear that they are good. And they hope to hear that their good outweighs their bad. And because they're more good than bad, God will accept them into heaven. Because that's the message that is mostly proclaimed in the world today. You just have to be good enough. And in fact, it is changing more and more nowadays. All roads lead to heaven. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you believe in Christ or not. Doesn't matter if you live for God or not. Eventually, you'll make it to heaven. That's the message that's being proclaimed now. That's what this one world religion is all about. And people like us that would say, nope, there's only one way, and that is faith in Jesus Christ through Him alone, we will be persecuted, we will be killed, because we are going against this trend that is in the world. See, as Noah was isolated in those days, and I believe he was isolated, the Bible doesn't teach us that, but wow, if he was the only one preaching righteousness, obviously they would have said, hey, stay away from that guy. Don't get close to that guy, because there's something wrong with him. He was isolated. Likewise, we will be isolated. We will be persecuted for what we believe. Beloved, but there's a few things that we can learn from Noah. I would like to share it with you, because remember, he lived in a hostile, wicked, godless, evil world. And there's a few things we can learn from this guy. And things that we can take as we live in a world that is wicked, as we live in a world that is godless and evil and hostile and full of corruption and violence. I think we can learn from Noah. And the first thing that we can learn from Noah is that Noah walked with God. You remember that if you read about Enoch, it says Enoch walked with God. So up to this point, it was Enoch that walked with God, and it was Noah who walked with God. And they were both righteous men before God. To walk with God basically means that Noah lived a godly life in an ungodly society. He stood out. When people looked at him, they said, that guy lives for God. He walked with God. It was clear, it was visible that Noah walked with God. We read in Genesis 7, verse 1, it says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Noah walked righteously before God because he knew God. You remember Lot? Jesus said as well that as it is in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Lord Jesus returns. Lot was a righteous man living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember that his righteous soul was affected by the sin that he had to be exposed to every single day. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says the following: God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tortured his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. It felt to Lot as if his soul was being tortured by the wickedness that was around him. Do you feel that your soul is being tortured by the corruption and the lawlessness that is around us? Now, it's important to know from a New Testament perspective that the only righteousness that God is pleased with, specifically from a New Testament perspective, is when we are imputed with the righteousness of Christ. Without his righteousness, we are not declared righteous before God. The question is, have you been declared righteous before God through faith in Jesus Christ? Will God look at you and say, you are righteous, therefore you can enter into heaven, I will save you? Or will he say to you, go away from me, I do not know you? Even though you have said, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not done miracles in your name? Beloved, do you walk with God by faith? Is it visible to those who do not know you? Is it visible to your family, especially those who are not saved? If there's one accusation that can be brought in against you and there's enough evidence to throw you into jail forever, will that accusation be that you are a child of God who lives a righteous life before him? Right, so the first thing that we learned from Noah is that he walked with God and it was visible. It was clear. The second thing we learned through Noah's actions is that he was a man of faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things yet not seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah gets warned. He gets instruction to build an ark, and by faith, Noah starts building an ark. And just remember, by that time, there were no boats, as far as I know. I haven't read about a boat in the scriptures up to that point. In fact, as far as I know, there were no rain up to that point. Yet, Noah built the ark. By faith, because he was a man of faith. He was a man who trusted in God, and he trusted that what God says is true. And by the way, he never saw a flood before, but still he built the ark. Not only did he build the ark, he preached righteousness to the godless society that he was in. Noah had faith in God's revealed word to him. And beloved, we are called to preach the good news of the gospel just like Noah was called to preach righteousness. We are called to preach the gospel. We are called to tell godless sinners that Jesus Christ is like the ark that can save them, like Noah and his family was saved. Just a quick word on the ark. The ark is a type of Christ, and I read this and it was so beautiful. This picture is so beautiful because the ark was there to save Noah and his family. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ saves his people, just like the ark saved Noah and his family. And if you look at the ark, you remember that the ark was, well, they put pitch on the ark, and when God closed the ark, it was covered with pitch, and it would keep the water out of the ark. The water's intention was to destroy. It was God's judgment upon the people. But the ark was the protection against God's destruction, against God's wrath. And likewise, Jesus Christ is our protection against God's wrath, because God's wrath came upon Christ so that his wrath will not come upon us. He carried our sin so that we will not be destroyed by our sin. And you know what? The ark was just big enough. When God gave Noah the size of the ark, when he built the ark, it was just big enough for all the animals and the people that God wanted in the ark. Yeah? You know that? Likewise, Christ's death is sufficient for everyone that he wants to save. Just like the ark. And he will save those that he intends to save. It's a promise. And you remember there was a little window on top of the ark? And maybe that's a reminder that we need to look up. We need to look up because Jesus Christ is going to return the same way as he left. And remember, he was taken from the earth and a cloud took him away. And he's going to return the same way. A cloud is going to bring him and the cloud is going to move away, and Christ is going to put his feet on this earth. Wow, beloved. Wow, what a day it will be when Jesus returns. Right, so we firstly saw that Noah walked with God. Secondly, we learned that Noah's actions shows us that he was a man of faith. Thirdly, we learned that Noah's love, or had a love for his family. We read that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 again. It says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. As I read this, I thought to myself, am I really concerned about the salvation of my family? My family members, those who are close or maybe extended family members, am I really as concerned about their salvation as Noah was about the salvation of his family? Because when God said build the ark, he built the ark because he knew his family can be saved. How many of us have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with our unsaved family? Are we as concerned about our unsaved family as Noah was about his family? Beloved, we need to remember, without the preaching of the gospel, people cannot be saved. And how can people hear if there's not someone who will preach the gospel, who will speak it? How many unsaved family members do you have that you have not spoken to yet? Yet, you have the truth. You know the gospel. You have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, yet you keep it to yourself. Where Noah, he wanted his family saved by all means, Even if it meant to build an ark, and everybody would look at it and say, what in the world are you doing? And it takes him 100 years to build it. Are we concerned about our family as Noah was about his family? All right, so we've learned that Noah walked with God, that his actions shows us that he was a man of faith, and we learned that he loved his family. The last thing, the fourth thing that we learn that I want to share with you this morning from Noah is that God protects those that he saves. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, it says, so those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Wow. God was the last one at the ark. God was on the outside, closing the door from the outside so it cannot be opened from the inside. And he shut Noah and his family in the ark so that they can be safe from the wrath of God that was going to be poured out on this earth. And that's what God does for us in Christ. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are cleansed of our sin, and that's what this table is all about, what Christ did for us. When we believe that, we are closed in Christ. We are in Christ. We are safe from the wrath of God that is to come, from the judgment of God that is to come. We are safe, just like Noah was, because it is God who closed them in. And it's the same thing with us. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ as a gift from God, and we believe on Him and we repent of our sin, it is God who closes us in. He is the one who will finish the work that He starts. And if somebody does not persevere, and somebody doesn't hold on, it just means they've never been with Christ and they've been fooling themselves all along. Because the good work that He started, He will finish on the day of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible promises us. God protects His own. God can be trusted, beloved. But I want to say something that I believe is important. Did God build the ark for Noah? No. He had to build it. God sealed it at the end of the day, yes. But Noah had to build it. Beloved, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to go on my knees and repent of my sin. You have to go on your knees and repent of your sin. God is not going to do that for you. But once you've done that, and you've been born again by the Spirit of God, God will make sure that you make it to heaven. Because He seals you as His own. And He will make sure that you make it to heaven. It's His promise. I just wrote on my paper and underlined it. I said, Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. What a promise. What a promise. Beloved, if there's one thing that we can learn from the life of Noah, is this. We go through a lot of things in this life, but we can be assured that God has not and never will forget His children. Listen to Genesis 8, verse 1. It says, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. God remembered Noah in the ark. And he dried up everything so that Noah can come out. Him and his family and all the animals that was in the ark. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 15 says the following. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. That's what God says. God never ever forgets his own, those who belong to him. That's the God we worship. That's the God we serve. That's the God that saved us. And that's the God that will make sure that we enter into eternity with him. So, beloved, the life of Noah teaches us that Noah walked with God in an evil, violent, corrupt, wicked, godless world. We learned that Noah's actions showed us that he was a man of faith. We learned that Noah loved his family, and we learned that Noah, or from Noah, that God protects us when he saves us. So as we look forward to Jesus' second coming, let us learn from Noah. As we partake of that table of remembrance, remember what Jesus did on your behalf. Because if it wasn't for Christ, we would be lost. We would be like all those people who drowned during the days of Noah. Let us learn from Noah. Even though the society was evil and wicked and godless and violent and corrupt, still we know that Noah walked with God. And my prayer is that you will walk with God and I will walk with God. He was a man of faith. I pray that you will be a man or a woman of faith, that your faith will be visible. Likewise with me, that you will love your family enough to share the gospel with them. And that you and I will hold on to the fact that God will protect us because he promised us that he will do it. Noah is an example of a normal human being just like you and I, but an exceptional person because God showed favor to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us, and thank you for everything that you've done for us in Christ. And as we partake of the table now, I pray, Father, make it alive in us. For we need to know and need to understand the penalty that Christ paid, the price that he paid on our behalf. But Father, above all, thank you so much that we know that we have life, and that life more abundantly in Christ, that we will have eternal life because of Christ and what he has done for us. Make it alive in us. Make it real to us, I pray. And if there be anybody here this morning who have not come to faith in Christ and has not repented of their sin, I pray may this morning be the morning so that you may be glorified, Father. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.